14, verses 1 through 6. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has so many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Wendy's testimony, the story which illustrates your word here in such an incredible way. Give us wisdom now, Holy Spirit, into what it is you're speaking to us this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you see why I had Wendy tell this story now? Jesus has made a number of different, what we would call, I am statements. For instance, he has mentioned, "I am the light of the world." He says, "I am the bread of life." "I am the good shepherd." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Well, here's another one of these I am statements, and we haven't taken a look at it yet. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And there are three descriptors that he uses of himself here in this scripture, specifically John 14, verse 6. The first one is, he says, "I am the way." Now, what's he talking about? Well, number one, he starts off this conversation by mentioning that he was going to go somewhere to prepare a place for his disciples. A place that would have an awful lot of room for them. Well, that place he's talking about, of course, we would commonly refer to as heaven. And he says, if I'm going to go and prepare this place for you, then you've got to believe that I'm going to come and bring you there. I mean, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for Jesus to waste his time, prepare a place. Some have called them houses. Others have called them mansions, however you want to look at it. It would be a pretty big waste of time for Jesus just to go and make these things and then not bring anyone with him. So he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to bring you there so you can be where I am." Okay? Makes sense. How many of you would like to be where Jesus is? Yeah, me too. What's cool is you already are where Jesus is. Now, it's a little different. We don't see him face to face. We're not living in our big house or mansion or however you want to translate that. But Jesus is with us. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the moment that we come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within our hearts. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are so close that the Bible calls the Holy Spirit at times the Spirit of Jesus. I mean, Jesus is with us. But of course, we're talking ultimately about the end of all things, when we will be with him face to face. "I am preparing this for you," he says to his disciples. "And therefore, someday, I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring you there so you can be where I am." Now, here's the deal. There is only one way to this place, and it's Jesus himself. In other words, you cannot get to the place that Jesus has prepared for you through Allah. You cannot get to this place through Buddha and his teachings. You cannot get to this place through the law of Moses. You cannot get to this place with New Age philosophies or atheistic belief systems. The only way to get to this place is through Jesus. Hence the reason why Jesus says, I am the way. Right? You're not going to find another road to your mansion. You're not going to find another road to your heavenly home. It's only through Christ. Which then leads us, of course, to a rather important question. It's a question that we've asked a few times throughout the book of John. It's a question, therefore, we've answered a few times. But the question is, how do you take a hold of this way? Well, as we saw, what, last week or a couple weeks ago, I can't recall now, you take a hold of this way the same way you would take a hold of the gift of salvation, and that is by faith. Everybody say faith. Okay. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, which means it's not your works, it's not your pretty face, it's not your earning potential or your earning power. You can't do a certain amount of good deeds to get to this place. And like I said a moment ago, there isn't another God. There isn't another philosophy that's going to get you to this place. It's only by faith through grace what Jesus did for us on the cross. That makes sense? So when Jesus says, I am the way, it means he is the only way. And he wasn't kidding when he said it. Chris Piccirillo, when he was up here just a moment ago, tied in the whole young adult ministry with the evangelism course that we had and all that good stuff. And I hope that this highlights the fact that we as a congregation need to step out in faith to share the gospel. We have to. Why? Because Jesus is the way. He's the only way. Well, you know, there are people out there by the millions, by the billions, that don't know the way. They don't know Jesus. And how can they believe in him unless they've heard of him? And how can they hear of him unless someone tells them about him? And how can someone tell him unless someone is sent? Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. That's what the Bible says. I think of the Carbajals. They're heading down to Honduras when your time is ready. And they're bringing the good news. They actually asked for like four or five of my sermons. I'm going to be famous. Yeah. Yeah. You used them already. Dude, how did it work? Good, praise God. That's good. So it translates okay. All right. They're still alive, and they didn't stone you, so obviously the sermons were okay. That's good. Well, praise God. See how that works? So God is calling us to hold forth the good news, whether it's in Honduras or down here on, you know, 17th Street or out in farmland, whatever it is. Jesus is the way. He is the only way to the Father. Please do not fall into this sort of multi-ecumenical way of thinking that all faiths lead to Jesus. Now, if you're hanging out with ecumenical churches that believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, well, praise God. You can get together with Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans. I don't care who you're getting together with. But if you're starting to get together with folks who are preaching a different gospel, well, if it's a different gospel, it's the wrong gospel. There's only one gospel. Jesus is the way. Does that make sense? So just like Wendy's flashlight got her home, Jesus is the way to your heavenly home. That also ties right into his other I am statement, I am the light of the world. As he shines his light, we see. We see where he is. We see truth. We see the path that we're walking on. Jesus truly is the light of the world. He truly is the way. There is no other way. Yeah, praise God. And by the way, he's not being arrogant. He would be arrogant and foolish and really not even worth following if he didn't tell us the truth. You know that, right? But Jesus loved us so much that he told us the truth. I am the way, which leads to the second thing, and that is he is the truth. You see, He can't help but tell the truth because he is truth. You know how the Bible says in 1 John, I believe it's chapter 4, that God is love. You've all heard that, right? I hope you've heard that. And I hope, like we heard this morning with that tongue and interpretation, we are taking hold more and more and more of God's love. Love is a defining characteristic of who God is. So is truth. Jesus is incapable of lying. He's incapable of it. He can't even do it. Why? Because he is truth. Does that make sense? So because Jesus is truth, he always speaks the truth. And that means a couple of things. Number one, it means that God's word is true. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all different yet all one. God's word is true because God is truth. Jesus is the visible reality on earth in those days of his truth. And so when you're reading the Bible, you are literally reading truth because Jesus himself is truth. He is true. Number two, we can trust him. We can trust him because he'll never lead us the wrong way. Now, think about your story here, Wen. What if the person with the flashlight all of a sudden got up and started moving? You know, that's a late night jog, 2:45 in the morning. All of a sudden, the light's moving. Now they're off that place, and now they're on, like, you know, the Cardinal Trail. That's a long trail. That's a great trail. So that would be a little off-putting, I would think. You may never get back, and that girl would probably never come back to camp ever again, right? Jesus doesn't, He doesn't take the mark, and you start walking towards it, and then he moves it. Oh, no, it's over here, buddy. No, sorry, you ain't, no, it's over here. Over here. Does Jesus do that? Why? Because he's the truth. He is the truth. And he always speaks the truth. His word is true. We can trust him inherently and completely. Okay? Now, this ties in then to, I think, a great illustration that the Apostle Paul gives in Ephesians chapter 6. He's speaking of spiritual warfare. You know, the Bible says that we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the rulers, the principalities, the powers, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. If that's confusing, realize those descriptions are describing demonic forces. So, and look, I say this fully understanding, I am a human being just like you. And so it's one of those things that might be easier said than done. But the person you may be angry with, the person that you're wrestling with hatred for, the person you would consider your enemy, ultimately is not your enemy. Now, that doesn't mean the nation doesn't have enemies. Just remember 9/11, okay? But there is a spiritual realm behind all of that. God loves people, even enemies of the cross, just as much as he loves you. It's crazy when you think about it. And for a guy like me, I was an enemy of the cross for 18 years. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't follow Jesus. I didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Thank God he loved me enough to save me out of that nonsense. So we've got to be careful that we're not constantly angry, spiteful, filled with hate, filled with judgment and offense towards other people. Number one, it's not the ways of Jesus. Number two, they're not your enemy anyway. We should be praying for them. And then number three, you're only hurting yourself. You've probably heard me say it before, and you can use this for anger, bitterness, offense, whatever you want to do, I'll use anger. To hold on to your anger towards another person is like drinking rat poison and waiting for them to die. It just kills you from the inside out. You begin to shrivel up. That's why the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't hold on to that because you're just going to kill yourself. See? Anyway, here's Paul. And he's talking about spiritual warfare. And he goes on then to say, when you're finding yourself in the day of evil, you know, when it's all hitting the fan, we might say, stand. But stand with the full armor of God on. Now, here's where it gets interesting. If the old brain recollects, there's six pieces of armor that Paul mentions here. And he mentions bookend pieces of armor, okay? The first is the belt of truth. Huh. Well, what's the belt of truth referring to? Well, probably two things. Number one, it's referring to Jesus, who is the truth. But it's also, number two, representing and referring to his word, the Bible, which is true. Now, go to the end of his discussion on spiritual warfare, at least the six pieces of armor. And he says what? Pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the armor of God, two pieces, are speaking about the Bible itself, Jesus himself. How much do you know your word? I'm telling you right now, okay, I'm thinking off the top of my head here. I wonder, there are different surveys out there right now that are talking about how the church is just, you know, doing a face plant. Then there are some other surveys and studies that are saying that the church, and at least in pockets, is really doing well. Whatever. Where the church may be face planting and falling apart completely, I wonder if it's because nobody either listens to the word, reads it, lives it out. It's almost like a second thought. You know, do you come to a service and the guy or the girl up front is giving you a nice little story? How focused are they on politics? You know, sometimes you think you go to some of these churches and they're the church of the Democrat or the church of the Republican, right? The word has to be front and center because at the end of the day, Jesus is the truth, right? And so we need to pick it up like a sword. We need to put it on like a belt. Take it with us wherever we go. We need to know the word of God. You know Jesus, praise God. That's awesome. You own a Bible, that's wonderful too. Now start digging into it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and that light was true, right? You found your way because there it is, the truth. Once again, tying into Jesus' I am statement, I am the light. The truth lights up so we can see. How do you know what's right, wrong, good, bad, or ugly? How do you know? Well, I wake up in the morning and I flip a coin. Wow, that'd be something. Like, could you imagine flipping a coin? Your neighbor, you know, your neighbor's really giving it to you. And you're like, God, I'm going to flip this coin. And if it lands on heads, I'm going to forgive. If it lands on tails, I'm going to go punch him in the face. There are some in this congregation who might want it to land on tails, right? Punch them right in the face. Do you know who I'm speaking of? Those of you who are there having a little bit of fun with this, right? No, but what's the word say? It's the truth. Read the truth. Know the truth. Live the truth out with the help of the Holy Spirit, right? So Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And then finally, he says, he is the life. And I want to give you three thoughts on this idea of life. Number one, Jesus created you. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that nothing was created without Jesus. He was there at creation and he participated in creating you. Not only in Genesis, but also now. You know, you read the Psalm and the Psalm says that you were knit together in your mother's womb. Well, who do you think did the knitting? Right? Was it your grandma? That'd be kind of weird, man. I mean, how would they get in there? That would hurt. Jesus created you. In other words, he gave you life. You would not be here right now if it wasn't for Jesus. So he created you. Are you happy that you've been created? I mean, the only other option probably isn't the best thing, you know. Jesus created you. He also sustains you. Bible says he holds the universe together by the word of his power. You are a part of the universe. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, as you read the scriptures, you are the most important part of the universe. Let that sink in for a second, would you please? Okay? That's how you are the apex creation of God. That's apex creation. You can't get any better. Okay? So he's created you, he sustained you, but there's a second thing he also did for you as Christians, and that is he's recreated you. You've been born again by the Holy Spirit if you have put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you are now new creations. He creates you and gives you life. He sustains your life. And now, by his death and resurrection on the cross, you are literally a new creation. You've been created afresh. And that's very important because unless you're born again, you can't even see heaven, right? You ain't going to that mansion. You ain't going to that house. A third way that Jesus gives us life is, well, I guess it ties into the second one, and that is he gives you eternal life. All right, he's created you, he sustained you, he's recreated you, and in the process, he's given you eternal life. The word eternal has a couple of different meanings. It speaks of a type of place. It speaks of an age that is to come. And it also speaks of eternity or everlasting. So God, through Jesus, has given you eternal life, again, through his death and resurrection and your faith. And then a fourth one I want to focus on is the fact that he's given you an abundant life right now. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. Right? He is an absolute liar. And he's trying to make your life miserable. But let's not blame the devil for everything. You and I, we do a good enough job of making a mess of things our own, don't we? Right? We've got to be careful. You ever hear that the saying, you want to preach the full gospel? This is one of those moments. Because as Pentecostals, I think there are times when we focus too much on the devil. You know he's defeated. It's over. Now he's gonna come at you. There's gonna be skirmishes, but the war has been won, people. Right? It is finished. Take a hold of the finished work of Jesus Christ, and stop blaming the devil all the time. It may be you. I'm serious. Listen, man. I know me. I know me pretty good. And I know that there are certain things about me that you would not want to know. And everything, and the same is true for every one of you in here as well. The Bible calls it our flesh, our sinful nature. We don't even need the devil to make a mess of things half the time. Not only that, but number three, we've got the world out there that tempts us left and right. Left and right, left and right, left and right, left and right. You know? Anyway, let's stop blaming the devil all the time. Let's stop living below our means. Let's take a hold of who we really are as children of God. We're the head, we're not the behind, right? If God is for us, who can stand against us? I am with you always, even to the ends of this earth. Jesus has justified you. He has set you free. He has empowered you with his armor and the presence of his Holy Spirit and his word. He has given you everything you need for an abundant life right here on earth. Amen? Yeah, come on now. See, it's so true. It's so true. So don't go looking for an abundant life elsewhere. Find it in Christ. People are very, very important, right? I would say you're pretty important, you guys. Pretty important. You know, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but you're pretty important, right? But I and you would be a fool to put your ultimate trust in a person. Because that person is going to let you down, right? Well, what about your spouse? Yeah. Wendy needs your prayers. She's smiling at me. You can't put your ultimate trust in a person, because even if they're trustworthy, they're not perfectly trustworthy. Jesus is. Don't put your trust in riches. They can be here today and gone tomorrow. Didn't I just read somewhere that some woman just won $1 million or something and now she's in prison? Like, why on earth would you win $1 million and then go to jail? You know, I mean, come on. You got $1 million. Don't go to jail. Use your money. Right? Here today, gone tomorrow. Don't put your hope and trust in wealth and things and power or fame. Come on, it's Jesus who we are to trust, because it's Jesus who ultimately gives us the abundant life. That makes sense? Okay, so Wendy has this great testimony. She finds her way back, the light of Jesus Christ. And at that point, I mean, it really was the only way. There was no other way, okay? Jesus is the same. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And I want to finish by sharing a quote from an old-time Christian. Janet doesn't even remember this guy. Thomas O'Kempis, he lived a long time ago. He says, "Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way you must follow, the truth you must believe, the life that you must put your hope." Isn't that a great quote? Yeah. This is Jesus. And don't ever forget, he is above every rule and principality in the heavenly realms. There ain't nobody greater that you can follow. There ain't no greater way that you could walk on. It's Jesus. Can we stand together, please, here today? Tara, can you come up onto the keyboard, please? Okay, this is going to be a multifaceted altar call, okay? Number one, and let me say it all, and then we can move if you need to move. Number one, if you have been in essence, and you know it, you're convicted by it. You know, God is speaking to you. If you have been following a way or walking on a way or a path that just isn't right. Number two, if you need wisdom, truth in your life for decision making, understanding, whatever it might be. And number three, if you would say to God, "I want that abundant life right now that you've promised me." All three of those things could apply to you. Maybe only one of those things apply to you. I don't know. But if you're in that group of those three things, would you come up to the altar right now? We want to spend some time, and I'd love to pray over you. And here's what I'd like to do. As you come up here, just begin to confess it to the Lord, whatever it is. "Lord, I need this. I've been walking the wrong way. Forgive me. Give me wisdom in this area." Just take a moment. Feel free if you want to raise your hands, kneel down, whatever it is. Just get alone with God and have a conversation with him. And then for those of you who are in your seats, if you could come on up to the front and just put your hands on the folks who are praying right now. We may not know exactly what they need in prayer, but let's just begin to pray for them. So come on out of your seats now. We want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And if you're still in your seats, just go ahead and worship God right now. Just worship him in your own words, praising him, thanking him, whatever it may be. As we continue to pray, we're going to sing that last chorus again. "Lord, I look to you." So if you're done praying, and just go ahead and lift your hands. Just begin to praise God as we look to him today.
I will love you, Lord, my strength.
We do praise you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And your love for us, Lord, is so incredible. Just so incredible. My hope and prayer is that every need that has been lifted up here this morning, maybe other needs even that have not been lifted up, maybe things we don't even know about yet, you would make a way where there is no way. And you would lead us on the right path, the straight path, paths of righteousness for your name's sake. That your truth would totally permeate who we are, our thinking, our words, our actions, our motives, our attitudes. So, Lord, help us to have a hunger for you and for your word. For Jesus, you are the truth, and you are also the life. That life is still the light of men. So I pray right now that you would make your face shine upon us. You would look on us with favor, and that your abundant life would be ours today. Forgive us for times where we have made choices, poor choices, sometimes sinful choices that have sucked the life out of our abundant life. But Lord, you're just a prayer away. You sit on a throne of grace, ready to dispense and to give your grace and mercy in any time of need. So Lord, bless us and keep us. Go with us. Lead us and guide us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, before I let you go, please be praying this week for our young adult ministries, women's ministries, and Pastor Josh, we got prayer tonight. Pastor, we're on tonight, so hey, if you could be here tonight, prayer, we're here at 6 o'clock. Lord bless. Have a great week in Christ.